Hello and welcome to In the Spotlight with Closed Circa, the definitive podcast on digital disruption in the print industry. I'm Luella Fernandez, Director of Closed Circa, and today I'm joined by Chris Dance, CEO of Papercut. Today we'll be discussing the combination of edge computing, cloud and IoT in the print world, and specifically how Papercut Hive has overcome some of the limitations around cloud printing by creating an edge mesh network, which essentially reimagines the local traditional print server. So I'm really looking forward to this discussion, and thanks again, Chris, for joining us today.
Thanks, Luella, for the opportunity. As many people who know me will know, I love talking. So yeah, it's a great opportunity.
So before we get into the discussion around edge mesh technology, I just really wanted to get an insight into the whole Papercut story, because personally, I think it's a really interesting journey that Papercut has been on, from, you know, really essentially being a tech startup, I guess, at the end of the 90s in a very traditional legacy-based industry. Yeah, I just really want to understand your sort of innovation journey and what's led you to carry on innovating in, as I say, what's a very traditional industry.
Yeah, so you introduced me as the CEO, and I don't often see myself as that. I'm a founder, I'm a technologist, I'm passionate about it. And yeah, it's been a long and amazing journey. The expression I like to say is that if you love your job, you don't work a day in your life. And that's really what it's been like at Papercut. You know, it all started, I was finishing off my university degree, and I first had a job as washing dishes in a Mexican restaurant, and my dad eventually said, look, you've got to get a better job than that, son. You're studying engineering, you know. So I went and got a job at my old high school as a network admin and network tech, and just a part-time job, and it was great. And I solved many problems, such as, you know, the kids stealing the balls out of the mouses, and I fixed that with some super glue, and, you know, many network and directory management in the time. But the one problem I couldn't fix was the big pile of uncollected print jobs next to the printer in the library, and it infuriated, because I'm a little bit of an environmentalist. Anything I tried didn't do it, and I looked around for some software and I didn't like it. I thought, oh, surely we can do better. So I taught myself a bit of programming, and the first version of Papercut was put on that network 22 years ago. And we've never looked back, and just love technology, love building things. So started from those humble beginnings, and today, you know, we've got this really fun culture. We like to say that we're a 100-year startup. So we, even though we've grown to a couple of hundred employees now, we have really hung on to that startup culture, loving coffee and doing it with a long-term view.
It's interesting to see that, you know, there's still opportunities for innovation, particularly from ISVs like Papercut. And, you know, I think I've heard you describe Papercut also as an exciting company in a boring IT.
We often call ourselves the most exciting company in one of the most boring parts of IT. And look, printing should be boring, right? You want it to just work. It's one of the more mature parts of IT. As I often remind people, printers were connected to computers before screens were. Right. So it is a real mature part of technology, and so it's boring. It should work. But it is amazing as well. The people that come and join Papercut, you know, the stack that we're working in, the you know, everything from writing protocol parsers all the way through to which rich GUI web apps and mobile apps. It's just an amazing environment. Not many people get to work in such an interesting technology stack, and that such a challenging technical one. It's a lot of fun.
Yeah, and I think you touched on, you know, the environmental impacts, you know, issues being very close to your heart. And I think, you know, obviously Papercut is summed up by its name, and, you know, you're looking to help organizations, I guess, not eliminate paper completely, but just move to more responsible printing. And how much is that still the case, you know, in terms of sustainability? Because we're seeing that move higher on the agenda for many businesses today.
Look, it's super important for us. It's really, I think for a lot of us, it's what, you know, gets us up in the morning. We love building product, we love technology, and we love having a higher purpose. And, you know, like I said, it's not about eliminating paper, it's about stopping that waste. And, you know, I often use the expression, you know, we're not going to stop what we're doing until that last wasted page is stopped, because there's waste occurring all over the place. And we often, you know, we measure a lot of our activity in the business, you know, by what we call our common currencies, which are not dollars and sales. They're about the impact, the number of users we're helping, the number of jobs we're saving. And it's great to sort of design your application by, you know, driving those metrics which have a higher purpose.
So how has that really led you now to where you are in terms of building this cloud native platform for printing? Because, you know, clearly, I guess, just to put some context around it for the audience, you know, with the wider sort of remote landscape that we're operating in today, the more connected devices, and this has given rise to the growth of edge computing and the need for more latency and redundancy around those devices. So how are you applying edge computing principles to cloud printing in what is, I guess, quite a nebulous market at the moment?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, it's definitely a changing market. It's an interesting one because, you know, printing by its definition, it's anchored to on-prem because you've got this device that's physically there, right? And that presents challenges, also, you know, market shifting slower, but also opportunities. And I suppose we've gradually over the years started doing more and more cloud, whether that be, you know, our free PaperCut Views product that we put in the cloud or you know, more and more cloud services in PaperCut MF. So we've been doing it more and more, but really when we wanted to build that, you know, let's call it a cloud native product, the cloud is so different. The security requirements are so different. We weren't willing to port our technology and say, oh, it's now in the cloud, it's hosted for you in the cloud. We thought that was too dangerous. You need to really architect something different. You need to architect it with the security principles of the modern internet, the scalability of the modern internet. So, you know, we undertook that, you know, line one rewrite, as we say. But when we did that, it was taking our knowledge and the requirements, but solving it in a different way with different tools. And that made us go and look at, you know, really printing, when you think about it, is, you know, arguably the some of the earliest IoT devices, really, internet connected devices. And you know, so we as an industry really have been living IoT for a long time. We just haven't called it that. But IoT in itself is the industry and the trends and the technologies that different companies are adopting and using. You know, it's okay, we might have started in the print industry at IoT, but there's a lot of innovation occurring out there. So we took a lot of time looking at that, looking at the best practice concepts, everything from lighting control systems to security systems, and saying, okay, how do we go and do this in the print industry? How do we take this to our domain, and what can do we do, and how can we innovate? How can we take the best and put our flair on it? And that's where, you know, a lot of the concepts you see in a new PaperCut Hive product that come from is taking that mindset to our existing domain.
Yeah, so maybe could you just provide a bit of insight on what you view are the key challenges around managing print in an on-premises environment, and how PaperCut Hive, or, you know, that edge computing approach and mesh networks actually overcomes the limitations of traditional print infrastructures?
Yeah. I think we you know, one of the things is you it's cloud is not necessary in an IoT world. It's not a norm or nothing. And you need to make decisions of where logic and functionality sit, right? And there's many stories in early IoT. A good example is early Firminasat systems like Nest, right? And, you know, if you they're internet connected and they're intelligent, but they're also sitting on the wall, right? And the last thing you want is, you know, the early stories of, yeah, the internet was out, so I had to sit in the cold. No, so particularly as devices have become more powerful, cost-effective, more and more of that logic has moved in locally. And that offers sometimes performance benefits, sometimes privacy benefits, sometimes redundancy benefits. So it's carefully, it's choosing where that logic sits. And a lot of the best systems will have that choice in configuration or adopted a strategy of heading towards a path. And really with printing, it's one of those things where, okay, I've got my laptop and I can see the printer. Maybe it's even on my desk. I can touch it. Do I really need my documents going to the cloud and consuming that bandwidth and having that sensitive data floating off somewhere when the printer's right there? Or what happens if the internet connection's down? Can I print? I can see the device, I can touch it. Why can't I do that? So we wanted to bring the best of both worlds, the benefits of cloud, but with the benefits of what you expect in a local environment. And we took a lot of the concepts that you see out of, say, lighting control systems, where there's often a mesh network that's created, but maybe configuration sits in the cloud, or certain bits of collaboration are facilitated through the cloud. But maybe when you flip that light on and off, it's a local immediate connection within them in the local mesh. So that's the approach that we've done. The other thing is our view is we wanted everything to be what we call a node in the mesh. So it might be someone's laptop, it might be a printer, or it might be a mobile device. And that way they can all cooperatively work together. And then we extended it with the actually having a cloud itself being part of the mesh. So you can optionally enable what we call a cloud mode. So suddenly that means that you can be in the cafe and you can print and it will upload your job to the cloud and then back down into your printer. It might be on site. So you can get that benefit of cloud, but if you're on the local network, it's set locally. So that real hybrid, everything is a node model, has been a real important mindset for us and really important for us to have from day one architecture, because it's very hard to retrofit that, if not impossible.
I guess it's still early days in the print world, but it's, you know, already quite established in the rest of the IT infrastructure. And it's really interesting to see how you've kind of worked those principles into that print environment.
Yeah, that's right. Yeah, you go speak to an admin, right? You've got mesh Wi-Fi, you've got mesh networks like ZigBee and lighting control systems. So it's definitely not foreign in an IoT world. Yeah. But yes, in printing, it's definitely somewhat different.
Yeah. And so how does that address a lot of the requirements that IT departments now have around zero trust security? Because that's also becoming more of a mature approach, I guess, in terms of trying to secure remote workers and the more kind of IoT devices that are connected across the home environment as well as the office environment. So how are you sort of using zero trust principles within that edge mesh technology?
Yeah, there's a couple of things. I think zero trust, it means different things if you're talking at a network layer or a network setup or from a design principle. I suppose we have zero trust built into our edge mesh, right? So you might be on the local network, but it doesn't mean that you can join that mesh, right? So just because you're local doesn't mean that you can print or access the mesh. So everything needs to be approved. So you might have to do something like enter a pairing code on a device. Like just like to pair your certain devices, like maybe your Google Home appliance or something, you have to go through a pairing process. So we have that process too. So for you to get into the mesh and join an organization, it's not just because you're there. It doesn't mean you've got approval. So it could be as simple as scanning a QR code on your laptop or the like. So we have the notion of zero trust within the organization's domain or all the nodes. We also support the emerging many network structures are heading down. So they might have zero trust, as in they have a particular device or a network subnet that deliberately can't communicate with others. So we're able to route jobs through a mesh. So if it can work out how to navigate, because you've got something that's bridging two networks, it can send it or it can send that via the cloud to bridge those. So we're also supporting that emerging zero trust. And you see a lot of that. You've seen that for years in higher education networks. Like, the printers are hosted on infrastructure VLAN that is a non-trusted environment from the others, because you don't want someone to be able to pull a network cable out and connect directly to the internet via that, because it would allow hackers to get into the network and start hacking with an IP address at universities by pulling out the Ethernet cable on the back of a printer. So, yeah, I think a lot of these zero trust principles that you might have seen at really secure networks like higher education, etc., now becoming more and more commonplace.
So I would definitely recommend anyone listening to go to the Papercut YouTube channel, because there's some great videos on how it actually works and the benefits of using this kind of technology. I think they're great.
I was speaking to someone the other day and I said, they had Dropbox on their laptop, and I said, do you realize Dropbox uses edge technology and mesh and look, if you've got two devices on your local network, yes, it will upload the job to the cloud and back, but it also tries to see if it connect locally on the network and send the job that way, so it can sync between devices immediately, not just via the cloud. Oh, I didn't know that. And that's the advantage, is that mesh is, when it's done properly, it's auto-configuring. It's about the intelligence built in. You don't know that it exists. right? Just so most people don't know what TCP is or SSL is. They don't need to know because they just know that it works transparently. Somehow my data is encrypted. Somehow the system knows how to connect to that website when I type google.com. The best technology under is complex under the hood, but to the average user, it's automatic. And that's what we're endeavoring. Well, I still think we've got a fair way to go, but I think that what makes technology magic is when, you know, users don't even know it's there.
Exactly. And I think, you know, one of the challenges I just touched on in terms of the print industry channel is that the ability to have these conversations around zero trust, edge computing, cloud, you know, comes easier to some than others. And I'm just wondering what your views are in terms of educating the channel to be able to have those conversations and perhaps what's holding them back in terms of in embracing the cloud in their own business approaches with their customers.
Yeah, it's interesting, and we're not the only industry to go through this journey. You know, whether you're CRM systems or you know, identity systems, there's a lot who've gone through that journey of on-prem to cloud. And lots of questions get raised. Ones are security and confidentiality and privacy. Also, I think as technology has gone to the cloud, it gets developed with a different mindset. One of the mindsets we've taken in is we want to open the world of print management to organizations of all sizes, not just the ones that have got the budget or the need to use it. So, and cloud has done that. You know, there are so many businesses running, you know, CRM systems or accounting systems or, document management systems that they wouldn't have access to because they couldn't afford it, but now it's in the cloud, it's there. So it opens up a whole new world. But along with that simplicity of opening up, the services also need to change around that. So no longer do you need to have, you know, configuration services for complexity and know about, you know, RAID controllers and SCSI and things like that. It's a different type of consulting that comes with cloud. It's about best practices. It's about the trusted advisor. And, you know, there's been a big change for a lot of industries to retool that capability. It's not about install and configuration. It's about best practices and advice. And, you know, we as a company and resellers and us as an industry need to go through that journey.
Generally, the print industry, as I mentioned, being so traditional and legacy driven, and you know, the need to adapt and innovate, particularly over the past year, has been, you know, a real imperative for those businesses that are very reliant on traditional hardware sales. And cloud has been critical to a lot of businesses, like you say, of all sizes, being able to digitize their operations much quicker than they perhaps would have done pre-COVID. And I think it's a real opportunity for the channel to get on board and, you know, understand these concepts and have those conversations with their customers. So, you know, I think it really helps that kind of resilience around print, because, you know, they're still, you know, I'm sure you could maybe give some insight into how you've seen print volumes changing and how that's, you know, impacted your customer base and perhaps where you see the recovery, if and when it's coming?
You know, definitely there's been a lot of impact through COVID, for sure. What we found in particular segments, healthcare, education, for example, those print values bounce back very quick, or if not, have jumped substantially. We've seen in regions where schools have gone back that you get a very big spike in printing. And I actually was having a chat with a teacher the other day, and I sort of talked about that, and they said, oh yeah, definitely, because the kids have spent so much time on screens doing online learning, you know, we've actually deliberately reformed the syllabus to get off computer screens and get onto worksheets and collaboration exercises, etc. So, you know, I think we're seeing a little bit of that, but yeah, definitely I think in many industries, I think a lot, you know, have taken the opportunity to digitize a lot of processes, because printing and printed processes while working remote has been, you know, difficult, right? So they've taken the opportunity to digitize that. So a lot of what I'd call required printing will disappear with COVID, right? But discretionary printing, you know, printing to read on a different format because I've spent too much on the screen, or to get a pen out of markup, or I want to put something on the wall and sit around with people and talk. You know, that discretionary printing, I think, is going to bounce back and be as important as usual.
You know, pre-COVID, if I went to a meeting, I'd make my notes on the laptop. Whereas now, yeah, with the Zoom kind of calls being so regular and, you know, Zoom fatigue sitting in. I have all my notes on, you know, paper. I've started printing and I have a pen, which I probably, you know, didn't do before. And I think it is providing a way for us to disconnect from that digital fatigue as well. So, you know, I think there are encouraging signs of recovery in certain sectors, as you say. So just, I think that's a good point to kind of end on, really, in terms of what do you see as next for the industry? Obviously, you've already, you know, almost ahead of the game in a sense with, you know, your edge computing approach and the mesh network and so on. But what do you think's next for the industry and what's next for PaperCut?
It's going to be a journey around the services that we provide customers and, you know, professionalizing that and moving across to being, you know, a lot better at being that trusted advisor rather than that configuration or that provider of a finite service. I also think as an industry, we will have a lot of opportunities because hopefully when the move to cloud and just technology improving in general, there's an opportunity to get more value into more customers. You know, I think, you know, cloud has unlocked the possibility of people getting access to all manner of technology that they wouldn't normally have been able to invest in the servers or the people to help maintain it, right? So hopefully this journey unlocks a lot of market opportunity for us all. So I think that sort of moving to that consultative trusted advisor is going to be a challenge as we all move to cloud. For PaperCut, I think it's there's a couple of things. One is that you know, our focus is really on cloud and giving that journey to our customers, and many of them are going to move at different rates. So we've really been big on our what we call our platform portability program. We've always been big about choice, so we wanted our customers to be able to choose any printer type that they can think of. We want choice there. We want choice in the operating systems that they. Anything from Android to Linux and Novell or whatever is their technology of choice, right? We've always supported it, even the small ones. And I think the new choice is going to be about where and how they host. Is it private cloud? Is it public cloud? How quickly do they make that transition? How are they supported in that transition? So I think for us, that's really is going to be a key is providing that journey and choice for our customers.
You know, every customer is on a different journey within whether they're using private cloud, public cloud, hybrid cloud, and they're at different stages in that journey. And, you know, just on that point, actually, I mean, I'm just curious as to whether you can talk to any particular customer that you've helped on that journey and, you know, maybe give an example of, what, you know, how they started off with PaperCut and where they are now.
Yeah, I think, you know, we've got a number of customers that, that are on the journey of moving infrastructure from on-prem and maintaining servers into data centers. And the big trend is moving it into well-known data centers, whether that be an Amazon or a Microsoft Azure or a Google Cloud and Compute Cloud, right? So that shift, and we've seen, you know, particularly education customers embrace that more and more. So sometimes they're on private cloud networks, sometimes they're moving into more public cloud infrastructure, but still wanting to maintain it and host it themselves. So they've got that confidence. And we've got a lot of customers that have been on that journey. And then we've had some customers that have really wanted to move across to a fully hosted public cloud environment, you know, because they've done it with their accounting system or they've done it with, you know, Microsoft 365, et cetera. So we've had a number of customers that is early in this journey for us of, you know, migrating from PaperCut MF to PaperCut Hive. And then we've got customers that have got very rich requirements. And as we've gone to cloud, we don't have that 20-year feature set as we do in MS. So it's about working with them and supporting them and finding when the right time for them to move or working on hybrid approaches. Like sometimes they might run satellite offices or certain offices set up one way and others on another way. So, yeah, it's... there's plenty of different journeys there for those customers.
And just out of interest, do you think Google retiring their cloud print offering and then Microsoft launching Universal Print is going to build more momentum in cloud printing? And how is that, you know, impacting PaperCut's products in terms of integration, for example, with Universal Print?
Yeah, I think it's super important, you know, as we go through this journey, you know, that, you know, we saw the popularity of Google Cloud Print and the pain that it caused many of our customers when they decided to end of life that. And that's why we stepped in with Mobility Print and offered a free version to all these customers, because you know, we felt that we could help support that gap. And obviously Microsoft Universal Print solves in a very similar way. We've also, one of the challenges though, is we've got to see the adoption of the print vendors take that on. And just like Google Cloud Print, it took 5 or 6 years to start to get into printers in as an inbuilt option. And even then it was often flaky. I think we're going to go through that journey now with Universal Print. And then there's going to be lots of devices out there that won't have that supported in. So how do we support those? So, you know, we've always been approaching it. Whatever system we build, we want to interop with the technology and transport conduit of choice. We also want to make sure that we're unlocking devices of all types and all brands in all situations. So, you know, that's why we've gone down the edge mesh approach, but, you know, high interoperability, you know, so we put our hand up and very much embrace Universal Print as one of those conduits. What technology wins in the long run, does edge computing and the devices, printers as an edge concept become predominant, or just sending everything in the cloud and black become predominant? Yeah, it's hard to predict which one will be successful. And that's why, from our perspective, we've gone that multi-pronged approach. So customers have got the choice.
Well, that's been a really great conversation. You know, I really appreciate you joining me, as I said. It's been, you know, great to talk about all the impact of cloud and IoT and edge computing in the print industry. But now I just really wanted to ask you a lighthearted question. I'm asking all guests where they would like to go to once lockdown is over. So, yeah, where would you like to go to once travel restrictions are eased and you can leave the country?
Well, very good question. It's going to be hard to explain, but one place I'd love to go to would be a place called Svalbard, which is in the North Pole. It's an island off the coast of Norway. And I discovered a YouTube series just by accident of someone who lives on the island, and, you know, got to learn about the seed bank there and the history, and it just seemed fascinating. So I said to my wife, oh, wow, you know, as an Australian on the opposite side of the world, and that would just be an absolutely awesome place to go. So I hope the world opens up one day and I can go and follow that dream and get all the way into the Arctic Circle and the North Pole.
Yeah, brilliant. Oh, that sounds amazing. I'll have to look that up. But thanks ever so much again for your time, Chris. I really appreciate it. It's been a really interesting conversation. And thanks again for joining us today.
Thank you for the opportunity.
So thank you for joining today's episode of In the Spotlight with Quocirca. Please visit quocirca.com for more information on our podcast series. And I look forward to seeing you in the next podcast episode.